We've been thinking, haven't we, about since Pentecost, about life in the power and in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the difference that the Holy Spirit makes to us as individuals, but also to us collectively. Do you know, it's relatively, I don't know about you, but do you find it relatively easy to be a Christian on your own? You don't. Well, I mean relatively. And relative to being a Christian and what that means in the context of a congregation. What I'm suggesting is sometimes we might find it easier to live our lives as a Christian in the way that we're comfortable with in our home. It's when we have to rub up against other people who are also Christians. Don't you find that more difficult sometimes? If only we could just be Christians on our own. It's great to be together, and the New Testament knows very little about solitary Christians. The New Testament talks about the family of God, the body of Christ. And so when we talk about what it means to be the body of Christ, and the Spirit at work in the body of Christ, then this, what we're doing here, is really, really important. And the Holy Spirit is the one. He builds the house, the spiritual house, with living stones, which is you and me. The living stone is Christ, the cornerstone, and then he builds this spiritual house. And then the Spirit fills the spiritual house. And he works in each of us in order to become increasingly the family of God. Because actually, when we're a Christian and we come into the family of God, actually we start rubbing up against other people, and all sorts of things can come to the surface. Our prejudices, our preferences, and so on and so forth. So it's actually quite difficult. It can be quite difficult to be the family of God. And we've been thinking about the Holy Spirit, a few weeks ago we looked at John chapter 14 to 16 about the Parakletos, the helper who comes. And we began last week about thinking, how does the Holy Spirit help us? And we thought last week about how the Holy Spirit helps us in worship. Do you remember on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on the disciples and they began to declare the praises of God in other tongues. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit did. He ignited their worship, and the Holy Spirit ignites our worship. And we thought last week how he ignites our worship and enables our worship, because he reveals to us the glory of God, and as we see more of the glory of God. And I was going to carry that on this morning, but I think what we'll do is, just can you turn to Acts chapter 2? This is a familiar passage. And Acts chapter 2 is about Pentecost. And at the end of Acts chapter 2, we get a little summary. Most of Acts chapter 2 is a description of the day of Pentecost, and then Peter's great sermon to the peoples. And at the end of Acts chapter 2, we get a snapshot from Luke about what the church was like. Verse 42, and I just, what I'd love you to do is just spend a couple of minutes talking to each other. I'll read it in a moment, but just talk to each other about what the Holy Spirit did in order to create this, what we're going to read about. And what did he do? What was the fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit at that point? Are you clear? Denise says, I always ask complicated questions that nobody ever understands. But is that clear as mud? I'm going to read it, and I just simply want you to talk in the little groups that you're with. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? What has the Holy Spirit done in what we're reading? Okay? And if you understand that, brilliant. So verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Okay, so there's a snapshot of the disciples. It may have been just a few days. He was describing after the day of Pentecost, just a few days. What was the Holy Spirit doing? What was the Holy Spirit forming? What has the Holy Spirit produced in the early church here? Okay, is that clear as mud? Just spend a couple of minutes and we're just identifying. It's not a trick question. It's all in the text. What are the things? And I just want us to not just identify them, but think about, can we recognize some of that in our life today? Because surely if it was right for them, that's still what the Holy Spirit does today. So just have a short conversation, a few minutes. What has the Holy Spirit done in that instance? Okay, go for it. Denise, will you run around with the microphone? Be really helpful. Let's just have a conversation about this. One of the things. Oh well, I'll let you speak. And this time, although last time I asked a question, I said it's a good answer, but the wrong answer. There is no wrong answer. So, so what was the Holy Spirit doing here? Anybody want to kick us off? No wrong answers. And have a go, even if you're not used to speaking into a microphone. Have a go, Rosemary.
He changed their focus from me outwards to the rest of the fellowship.
Ah, and where do you get that from?
Well, the fact that they were prepared to sell their property and things.
Wow.
It's no longer what I want or what I like.
Yeah.
It's what's good for the church.
Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it? So the Holy Spirit turned them from thinking more about themselves to more about sharing what they had with others. Does anybody else want to comment on that? That before we move on to another point? Or anybody got a related...
It made them aware of where the need was as well, I think.
Say that again.
The Holy Spirit makes you aware of where the need is.
Right, okay.
So yeah. You're not looking inwardly, you're looking outwardly, but yeah. You know, you need to be... on the ball, as it were, to see where it is, and then give, and then to help,
Be hold on to our own property lightly enough to be able to say there's a need there.
Yeah, aware,
yeah. Points the need. Thank you, John.
This is a time of real providence when God was pouring out the Holy Spirit on the early church.
Yeah.
That was central to the rapid growth of it at that time.
And,
you know, we saw that all the believers were together and they had everything in common.
Yeah.
And that feels, you know, quite supernatural. It's not something that we all experience today within the church, but at this time, the Holy Spirit was really paving the way for the growth of the church.
What do you think the Holy Spirit was doing? Because I guess people who, you know, the early communists, they picked up on this, didn't they? You know, they picked up on this sort of shared property, but it went wrong somewhere. Just dig a bit deeper. What do you think the Holy Spirit was doing in order to create that? What was happening? Have you got any ideas? Got any thoughts?
Well, I think he was giving a real common purpose and a unity of what direction the early church wanted to go in.
Yeah.
I think if there had been bickering and
sort
of divisions at that time, it may never have taken off in the way that God planned. So the Spirit was giving a unity that was essential for that commonality and growth.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you, John. You hear that? The Spirit is giving a unity, bringing about a unity. Not just that we say there's unity, but there's real unity. That word that is at the beginning of that passage, they devoted themselves. That's a strong word, isn't it? And if that's what the Holy Spirit did in the early church, there was a lot of bickering just before Pentecost, wasn't there? They were all over the place just before Pentecost. But at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did this incredible thing in the lives of the early church, turning themselves from thinking about themselves towards each other to such a degree that Luke writes they were devoted to each other. That must have looked, what do you think that looked like? Beautiful. They devoted themselves to each other to the point where they were prepared to sell their property to meet the needs that they saw amongst them. John wants to say something. One more. That's
so
good.
Just to follow on from that, the thing that came to mind when I read this was something that we heard. You probably know Andrew, Josie, I, Jill, and David Horncastle were at the Firestarters course or conversation, as they called it this week.
Mm.
And we were hearing some amazing testimonies of how churches, some other Baptist churches, really experienced tremendous growth, some of them growing 20-fold in 5 years.
Mm.
And one thing that stuck in my mind was one of the pastors was talking about the stages of growth, and we were asking how that kind of growth comes about. And he said that at the start, it's providence. He wasn't really doing anything. He was just responding and trying to keep up with the numbers of people coming through his doors, and he didn't really have an answer for why that was happening. He put it down to divine providence.
Yeah.
So he said for the first 2 years, people just flocked to that church. But after that, the real work began, and it was quite a struggle.
Yeah.
And they've gone through various challenges since then.
Mm.
But I think this is the time when God's providence was
amazing,
really manifested.
Thank you, John. Sue, you had something?
Well, I don't know if it.
And then we're coming
on
over to this side of the room, everyone.
Well, what we talked about, what Josie was actually saying, was that people must have been quite open and prepared to share any needs and say, look, this is me, this is how it is.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah.
I was just saying the bit that says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. That it was many, many wonders and signs, so they didn't have to be massive things that happened that were totally miraculous. Just many small things that related to everybody, which meant that everybody could relate to them, which meant that they could actually then see all the wonders that were happening and be more, even more inspired and become even closer together as a unit.
Yes. Yeah. They could really see God at work, couldn't they? Come over here, Denise. Someone over in this. I know there's wisdom. There's great wisdom over here. yes, there was a real sense of God at work in their midst. Yeah, thank you. Who else? Who else? Come on. Where's the wisdom? Where's the wisdom? I know it's not that you haven't got anything to say. It's just you feel It is Howard. It is great wisdom here.
We were reading the passage and talking amongst ourselves, and of course we were saying, like everybody else here agrees, what a fantastic thing. Would you sell your home? Mm. Which one of us would sell our home? And then these people give their time, saying how valuable time is, and do we give our time? Mm. You know, just across the road and talk to somebody, not spoken to somebody for a week.
Yeah.
Do we give our time? Mm. And then immediately you look at it and you think, what a fantastic environment to live in.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just love to live there?
Wouldn't it be amazing?
You know, you don't need anything. You don't need money. You don't need anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't it just be fantastic?
Yeah. How is it made possible? Let's dig a bit deeper. Again, as I dug with David, how does that happen?
Well, surprisingly enough, as I think has been said earlier, I was in a church in Spain, and there was a man there who, and his wife, and a little bit like the couple that came here, a little bit like them, but yes, sorry, I couldn't remember their names. And he said his church, he was Canadian, his church grew fantastically. Mm. And people said to him, what did you do? And he said, I really didn't do anything. I just stood back. Mm. I got overwhelmed by it. Mm. And I couldn't help saying to him at the time, you know, I went over and spoke to him and said, if you ever come to England, come and talk to us.
Yeah.
Because I would want to be in that church with that guy there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where they're overwhelmed and Andrew has got so many people coming, he can't handle them.
Mm. There's a number of things, aren't there, that causes a church to grow. There's great worship, great preaching. Above all of that, probably, is the work of the Holy Spirit moving and changing our hearts.
Well, it is, but isn't the Holy Spirit doing this now, here, today, with what Steve has done here? Mm. Isn't this about the Holy Spirit?
Yes,
isn't
absolutely.
It bringing us all closer together and as a family?
Yes. Do you think he's got to do any more? Or is this
Of course.
Right.
Of course you've got to do more.
There's
always more.
So, yes, so we can say we praise God for what he has done.
Yeah.
But what I see going on amongst us, lovely people, is slightly different to what I go and see here. Now, that's not a judgment, but it's saying this is what the Holy Spirit can do. And I think this is what I want to dig deeper is a passage that we might have thought about, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 or 14. You know, it says in chapter 13, it talks about that we can give our bodies to the flames. But if we don't have love, it means nothing. We can sell our houses and give to the poor. We can sell our houses and provide each other need. But actually, if there's not love, then it means nothing. We're just clanging cymbals and noisy gongs. It's a great thing to do. Great thing to do. But what I see in this, the great work of the Holy Spirit, is that incredibly powerful work in our hearts and in our lives that creates a unity that isn't just a theoretical unity, but is a deeply changed interior of life that shows itself in incredible acts of love and provision and care. That's what I'm seeing here. I think it's great. Praise the Lord for everything the Holy Spirit does. Praise the Lord for this and our sense of, but there's more. There's more for us, for the Holy Spirit to do. Flavia's got a quick...
I think they use the word sincerity as well, don't they?
Sincere. Yeah.
I saw a very similar familiarity with that and what we've been speaking, but with the work of the Holy Spirit right now in this church, in a sense that we are different bodies with different subjective minds who will read the same Bible passages and see different tiny little things that would catch each one's attention according to each one's subjectivity. But that's one. It's like one body with lots of eyes. Do you understand? That's, I just see this incredible work of the Holy Spirit here, right now. Very similar. Creating this huge body with lots of different eyes, studying the Word of God. I don't know if I've made myself clear.
Yeah, absolutely. We're different, as these breads so beautifully show. We're different and we see different things, but when the Holy Spirit works on us and in us, he actually brings us to a unity, an incredible unity that we are yet to see in its fullness. We see glimpses of it, but we're yet to see it in its fullness. Anybody else, a final thing?
Because I'm a matriarch. It's this awe business. They were in awe.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that we're really very awe-ish, are we? I mean, we might be in here when we're praising worship, but do we actually talk about it all outside? I'm not sure we do. We're very English and reserved.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of that. I know Jesus works through me and us and the Holy Spirit, but I don't think we're perhaps as exuberant about it. They were exuberant. I mean, they'd seen so fantastic things. If we'd seen such fantastic things, we wouldn't stop talking about it, would we?
Yep. Okay. Let me just read it through once more. Let me read it slowly. And then perhaps I'd love it if, because I think we're done then, aren't we? It would be lovely if one or two of us would just lead us in prayer. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the transformative work that the Holy Spirit did on those early days of the early church. Perhaps one or two of us would just love to close our gathering together this morning in prayer by praying that the Holy Spirit would do it again in our day. Thank God. Let's not be down about this. Thank God for what he has done, but pray that he will do even more in our day.